The reality for many of you is that investment properties where you live have become absolutely unaffordable. The good news is that there are many cities with affordable properties and many of those under 100K. If you're someone who's ready to buy your first out-of-state property in the next 4 months, then I encourage you to check out my free training that'll break down the process and show you exactly what it takes to invest out of state. I purchased properties out of state and it's changed my life. The same is possible for you. You simply need the right information. My free training will help you take that next step towards buying your first out-of-state property. You can watch the training right now at outofstatemoney.com, or you can click the link in the description of this episode. Again, you can find it at outofstatemoney.com, or you can click the link in the description of this episode.
Excuse me, may I talk to you for a second?
Yes. This is the Black Real Estate Dialogue, and the purpose of the Black Real Estate Dialogue is to document the journey of an up-and-coming real estate investor and to share the stories of successful Black real estate investors.
Redfin predicts that home buyers will get a break in 2024 and that home prices will drop in 2024. My name is Sam, an out-of-state investor. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode. If you're on YouTube, make sure you like this video. Make sure you subscribe to the channel. If you're on the audio side, make sure that you leave a rating and review. So in today's episode, I'm going to talk about several of the predictions that Redfin is making about the housing market in 2024, and I'm going to share my thoughts on it as well. So let's jump right into it. So the first prediction is that Redfin predicts home prices will fall by 1% in the coming year. Currently, home prices are on track to be at about 3% higher towards the end of 2023 than they predict they'll be in 2024. And so I think that's pretty interesting. And they mentioned that it'll be the first time that prices have declined since 2012, which was at the outset of the Well, towards the end of the financial crisis and Great Recession, all that stuff, or in the middle of it. And so I think that's pretty interesting because prices have been trending upward tremendously since then across the country. And so, again, they predict that 2024 will be 1% less than it has been this year. And so I think this is a positive prediction. The thing to realize is that real estate is local, right? And so if you are in Ohio versus Los Angeles, you might see different price drops. You might even find that prices increase depending on where you're at. I know throughout the country, like I look at different listings, and there are a lot of places that have seen price drops this year. So homes already coming down. That could be part of the high interest rate environment and people not being able to afford homes at the prices they were listing at, or, you know, it could be a number of other things that could be going on with the particular property. There might be a property that whose price has come down because maybe there has been on the market for a long time and there are certain issues with the property that could help you get a better deal. And so, I think it is a good prediction. Obviously, 1% is not a lot, but to keep into account, this is talking about the entire nation, 50 states, right? And again, real estate is very local. So the trends you might find where you live or where you want to invest, if you're looking to invest out of state, it could be a lot different than what's listed in this report. And for reports like these, I would recommend just taking things with a grain of salt because it may not apply to you and where you're at. And the second thing that they're predicting is that new listings will actually increase. So they're predicting new listings will go up. And one thing that's interesting is that they think home prices will fall because an increase in supply, which I think is very interesting. And I'll make sure I explain my thoughts on that. And, you know, the other caveat is that they're basing that prediction on home buyers who are reaching out to Redfin specifically. So it's not necessarily representative of the entire population. It's based on what they're hearing from consumers. And so I actually don't think prices will drop. The issue that we still have is a lack of inventory. And what I mean by that specifically is that since the last financial crisis, we haven't built enough housing for the demand that there is. If you remember, or maybe you don't know, around that time, we were actually building too many houses. Like, they were throwing up houses everywhere. And since then, development has not kept pace with the need that there is. And so what you'll find is that in many cities around the country, even when interest rates were super low a few years ago, there were still bidding wars, right? People were paying over asking. Why? There was not enough supply. And the other fact is that the majority of people have an interest rate below 5%. Over the last couple of years, those folks haven't been motivated to sell, especially as we've been in the 7% and 8% interest rate range. Those folks haven't been selling. And so I think the problem is the lack of inventory. And so I actually disagree with this point. I don't think that supply will increase broadly, but it is possible that it can increase to a degree where you're based at. As I mentioned, real estate is very local, right? So you might have a development increase in your particular area, but for most of the country, that's not the case. And the third prediction is that home sales will increase and end the year up 5%, which I think is a good thing. And so they're estimating in the first quarter of 2024, we'll be on pace for 4.1 million homes sold. As of the fourth quarter of 2023, the pace is 3.85 million homes sold. And so they think by the end of the year, we'll be on pace for 4.5 million homes sold. I think this is a good thing. You know, if more homes are sold and more people are able to get back into the market, what I'm predicting is going to happen is that as the interest rates fall, and we'll talk about that shortly, as the interest rates steadily fall throughout the year, I believe there'll be an increase in competition. What I mean by that specifically is, earlier I mentioned, most people have below 5% interest rates, right? And so they haven't been selling. And even in this new market we step into next year, they still might not sell. So that's the first thing. And the second thing is a lot of people have been on the sidelines due to the interest rate issues that we've been having over the last year or so. As the rates come down, I'm fairly confident those folks will come rushing back to the market. It's already starting now, and interest rates have dropped just a little bit, and the Fed hasn't done anything besides make an announcement. And so I believe prices will go up because, again, there's that supply issue. There's that inventory issue. So I think prices are going to continue to rise. And perhaps in certain local markets, it might be different. But more broadly, I don't think there's going to be this big dip and this big crash that everyone's talking about. I hope I'm wrong about that. I mean, there's not going to be a crash 100%. But I do hope I'm wrong about the affordability piece. I don't really anticipate that getting any better for people. So the fourth prediction, which I'm sure you'll be very interested in, is that they believe that mortgage interest rates will decline but remain above 6%. So they're predicting around in the first quarter, rates will be about 7% and then drop throughout the year. And they're predicting that rates will bottom out at about 6.5%. And they think that it'll bring some relief to home buyers, which I can understand. 6.6% is a lot, is a decent bit lower than the 8%+ that we saw for a lot of the year. And I don't think a decline in rates will go hand in hand with a decline in prices. Like I said before, I think it's going to have the opposite effect. And I think that prediction is fairly on par. As of this recording, interest rates for a 30-year fixed are about 6.6%. And the Fed recently made an announcement. If you haven't checked out that episode, make sure you check that one out that I dropped regarding the announcement. But the Fed announced that they are anticipating several rate decreases of about a total of 0.75%. And so the way the federal funds rate works is that it typically directly impacts the mortgage interest rate. So mortgage interest rates will steadily decline throughout the year. A lot of predictions are saying that the first cut will probably come around Q2. And so there'll be some moderate adjustments. I actually think we may potentially get as low as 6%, maybe even a little bit lower. But we'll see, because it's already starting to go down and the Fed hasn't adjusted anything. Once that announcement came out, interest rates started going down. So we'll see. But I think it's a good thing if the interest rates do drop, though, because technically speaking, it will make it more affordable for people. You know, it is much better to get a high 5 or a 6% interest rate than it is to get an 8% interest rate when you think about the life of the loan and how much you'd be paying over the entire period of the loan or however long you own the property. And again, I don't see those folks with those very low interest rates who locked in 2%, 3%, 4%, unless there's a life circumstance that causes them to have to sell. I don't personally see them selling. You know, I wouldn't sell and trade up for a higher interest rate unless, you know, there was good reason to. So I think there's still going to be that constraint on supply. That's just what my opinion and what I think. hopefully I'm wrong about that. I'm sure that in some local markets, that might be a different story. But if I have a 2-3% interest rate, I'm not letting that thing go. You let me know what you think. Leave a comment and let me know what your thoughts are. So this next prediction I thought was really, really interesting. It says that renting will lose its stigma. And basically, like, people won't feel like ashamed of renting and they'll be more open to it. And they feel demands for rental homes, demands for apartments will increase because young families don't believe that they can own or they just can't afford it. And it was some pretty sad statistics that they shared from a survey where 20% of millennials said they don't believe they'll ever be able to afford a home. And, you know, my encouragement would be, if you fit into that bucket, I would encourage you to think about a couple of things, because based on the survey, people didn't think they could don't think they'll ever buy a home because they don't believe they can save for a down payment, and they just don't believe it's realistic really in their lifetime. And so what I would say is that there are a couple of ways you can go about it. You can look into the FHA loan, which only requires 3.5% down to purchase a property. So this can be a 1-4 unit property. So perhaps in your market is something that could be affordable for you with the lower down payment. There's also the NACA program, which allows you to put 0% down on a property, no closing costs, et cetera. There's a lot of requirements to participate in the program, but that is another option that is lower cost out of pocket for buying a property. You can also look into a conventional loan. 5-10% down is something else you can look into. You can also look into down payment assistance. Down payment assistance programs exist in many cities across the country, and based on your qualifications, it can help you put money towards the down payment, closing costs, etc. In fact, I have a free guide of the top 10 down payment assistance programs. It's linked in the description of this episode, so definitely check it out. Download it, and hopefully you can find something that works for you locally. If you are somewhere where it's too expensive, you have two things to consider. So you can either invest out of state, like myself. So live in California, invest in Ohio, because California is crazy. So that's something you can do. There's a ton of markets out there with good properties for 100K, less than 100K, and a lot less than where some of you might be living. If you're living in an expensive market, or what you perceive as expensive, there's cheaper places out there if you want to stay there but invest somewhere else, and it's very possible to do it. I have another free guide that shows 8 steps to buy your first out-of-state property. Again, it's in the description. Definitely check it out. It'll walk through the process of how you can do that. The other option, if you fall into this bucket where you don't think home ownership is possible for you, is to consider moving. You may want to consider moving to a cheaper state or a cheaper part of your state. Obviously, a lot easier said than done, and there's a lot of logistics and things that go into it, but I encourage you to consider it. It may be something to do, maybe not in the next few months, but maybe in the next few years, if things are really tight where you're at and you're in a situation where you can eventually move on. So that would be my encouragement to you. You know, you first have to believe it's possible, right? You have to believe that you can buy a property somewhere. And hopefully what I shared, it encourages you and exposes you to some options for how you can get that done. So, you know, renting will lose its stigma. I don't know. I guess it depends on who you are. Obviously, you need a roof over your head, whether you're renting or buying. But if you want to buy, you can. You just have to get out of your comfort zone a bit, and you have to get creative and get scrappy and do what you have to do to make it happen. So it is possible for you. So there's a couple other things that I thought were interesting that were mentioned in this Redfin article. So they're expecting prices to fall in some parts of coastal Florida, primarily due to the fact that prices surged in some of those markets. And in their opinion, they are due for some level of a correction or a decrease. And also the increase in, like, just the natural disasters, and also the home insurance issue in Florida, which has become very difficult for a lot of people. So maybe there's some folks who might want to sell and cash out and go to a cheaper area with better home insurance. If you haven't heard, there is a lot of issues with home insurance in Florida. Some insurance carriers have pulled out of the market completely, thus creating higher prices for those who are remaining, who are still insuring in the state. And I've even heard from locals that there are folks in Florida who are just bypassing insuring their homes altogether, which is problematic, obviously, and pretty challenging. But, you know, for an investor who wants to withstand that, there may potentially be some opportunities in certain parts of Florida. And another interesting thing is there are a couple smaller markets where Redfin anticipates prices will go up. So those are Albany, New York, Rochester, New York, and Grand Rapids, Michigan. All three areas that I did not expect anybody to talk about, but those might be some areas you want to look into and see if that's true. See if those prices will end up rising. I don't know. Some of you might be located there or want to invest there. So it could be something to keep an eye on. And, you know, I'm wondering if part of that could be attributed to migration. I'm not sure the migration statistics to those places, but maybe that's something that is going on to cause the prices to increase. Because the only thing that I would think about to make prices in such small markets as those go up is an increase in demand. So maybe they're experiencing somewhat of a population increase or decrease in supply for some other reasons. The other interesting thing the article mentioned was the boomerang migration, which I'd never heard of. And basically, if you recall, over the last couple of years, a lot of people's jobs went remote and a lot of people were getting remote jobs. And so people who were living in expensive areas like LA, San Francisco, New York were keeping those jobs and moving to cheaper areas because they didn't have to come in office. Well, over the last year, a lot of companies have brought people back to the office, some companies full time and some companies in a hybrid fashion. And so a lot of people are moving back to where they came from, to where they were originally, back to these higher cost areas. And so Boise, Idaho, the one example they gave was moving back to Seattle from Boise, Idaho, because you have to come back into the office. So I think that's an interesting thing. I hadn't heard about that before. A couple of things that I'm excited about and that I think go to the points that I've been trying to make of late is that there's a prediction that states will adopt similar policies as Minneapolis, Oregon, and California to end single-family zoning. So just to give some context, there are some areas throughout the country where certain neighborhoods, you can only build single-family dwellings there, single-family homes there, and you can't add more density. You can't build multi-family properties, whether on a small scale or a larger scale. And like I said, there's a demand for housing that's tremendous in a lot of these cities. And so if you restrict what can be built in certain areas, you can't add more density and you can't add more housing for people who need it. And so some cities and states are getting rid of that and making it easier to develop, which I think is a great thing. Another prediction is that the government will offer more of a helping hand in financing construction of new builds. So I think that's good. And you know, if you've been watching for any period of time, one of the things I've been shouting from the rooftop is we need to put all efforts towards development. It needs to be expedited. It needs to be made easier to develop properties, whether those are homes or multi-unit buildings. All of our efforts need to go towards doing that. So it's refreshing to hear that this is a prediction that they have. And, you know, rezoning in certain areas is a huge step. And, you know, I think the reality of it is there's a lot of local pushback in some of these cases. So if you've ever heard of NIMBY, not in my backyard, where people don't want added density near where they live. You know, if they live in a single family neighborhood, they don't want buildings going up in those neighborhoods, even if it would help with the housing issues. They want it, but they don't want it in their backyard, so to speak, or where they live. And I think that's a little bit hypocritical, but on the flip side, I do understand where they're coming from. You know, especially, you know, if you're used to where you live being a certain way. But, you know, I think it's important. I think all efforts all across the country need to go to expediting development, making it easier to get good projects done and get good projects funded and built. I think it's extremely important, and that's the only way we're going to get out of this hole we're in as it relates to inventory. So just wanted to go through those predictions and give my thoughts on those predictions. I think there's a lot of cool things inside of this Redfin article regarding the housing market in 2024. Definitely make sure you leave a comment. Let me know what you think. Let me know if you agree with some of the things they said or disagree, or agree with some of the things I said or disagree. And, you know, definitely hope that it'll help you out and help you get off to a good start for 2024. One more thing before we go, if you are looking to buy your first or next property in 2024. I have a free guide that's going to walk you through the steps on how to do it. It's going to help you to start getting a plan together to do that for yourself in 2024. So you can find that in the description of this video. Download it. It's completely free. It'll definitely give you some good information. All right. So if you're on YouTube, make sure you like this video. Make sure you subscribe to the channel. If you're on the audio side, make sure you leave a rating and review. I would greatly appreciate it and look forward to hearing from you. Thank you all so much, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. Remember to follow us on Instagram at Black Real Estate Dialogue, and be sure to leave us 5 stars and a review on your favorite podcast listening platform. Until next time.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.